Hello. Hi, everybody. You are listening to Stirring the Pot on Voice of Vashon, 101.9 FMLP, right here in downtown, beautiful downtown Vashon, on Vashon Island, Washington. I'm Linda Nygaard, and sitting with me here in the studio is Mr. Tom Conway.
Howdy, howdy.
Howdy, howdy, Tom. And Mr. Truman O'Brien.
Oh, good morning. I forgot I was going to be...
morning.
I mean, good afternoon.
Hello.
I've been here all day.
Truman has really rough Tuesdays. Yes. He comes early in the morning and he stays all day.
Exactly.
And I'm sure glad he stays all day for us to do the engineering, because otherwise...
Truman, he's our man.
There would be no show.
You know, and actually, I'm glad he didn't slam the door and walk out, because I took up... There are two parking places at VOV, and I got a borrowed car, and apparently my brain is borrowed because I parked... I'm a perfect driver. Until today.
Yes, you
right?
are.
And I parked halfway in the... I'm so embarrassed.
Oh, man.
And it was amateur parking.
Oh, and I can't move because we're on air. So my apologies. Everyone who's driving by going, resin.
Must be a Ferriner.
Exactly.
Must be one of those Ferriners.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, so hi, Tom. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. I am fresh off of a family visit. We had like a 2-week family visit, mom and sis.
Oh, good.
And my brother's still here.
And your brother's here.
Yeah,
so
he's visiting. He's actually moving to the area. So,
So is that all of you? There's three kids and the mom?
And a mom.
Okay.
Yeah, my dad passed away in 2012.
Yeah. So
yeah, it was really
everybody
nice.
Was here.
It is. And speaking of food, it's like, you have to figure, people want to eat.
They want to eat when they visit, don't they?
Two weeks of meal planning. I'm like, I got to put my money where my mouth is.
I know. It's interesting though, you know, how quickly you can get in gear when you need to with regard to food.
It is.
And your pantry's fairly well stocked.
Yeah, and you're going throughout the day sort of doing this Rolodex catalog, almost a jukebox where it pulls out a record and it goes, I got this. And thank God for...
And then I can mix some of that with that and that'll work. And get out the pasta.
And roasted chicken saves the day.
Yes, it does. It really does.
Yeah.
Do you get the roastery chicken from the grocery store, or do you do it yourself?
Yeah, usually I do. They're on Friday, they have a smoked chicken. It's really good. And I'll use
that. At Thriftway or IGA?
Over at IGA.
Oh, and, yum.
And we'll do I'll do everything from like quesadillas to in a salad, you know, like a big leafy green salad with chicken. Mm-hmm. It's pretty funny.
You know, speaking of the roasted chicken, I love a roasted chicken salad. And when my kids were teenagers, there was always a group of boys that came over for dinner because they liked to eat at our house and because dinner was always good and big. And one time I had nothing. I didn't know what I was going to do. And there was some leftover chicken from the night before that I had roasted. And so I put that on a bed of rice. It was barbecue with a ton of barbecue sauce on a bed of rice. I threw some corn on it, some olives, some jalapeno peppers, a little ranch dressing, some more barbecue sauce, a little bit of lettuce, and I made this kind of pile of stuff, you know, that was, I thought, well, they'll eat it or not, you know. And my name was different at that time. Mm-hmm. We'll just say Mrs. X. So one of the boys, whose name was Derek, said, he had really bad table manners, but he was really a good boy. Mm-hmm. And so he was eating very close to his plate and just shoveling the food in, and he said, "I don't know, Mrs. X, you sure cook some weird grub, but it's always really good." And I just have never forgotten that.
I feel
that.
That sounds like it's almost like a dialogue out of a True Grit, you know, where it's like, "Can you cut your little biscuit shooter?"
Biscuit shooter. Well, I know.
Good grub.
And we were in Lake Oswego, Oregon at the time, you know, which is La-Ti-Da place, you know, and...
It is funny when you get some of those good combinations that
I know, and it was an accident.
Being a weirdo thing to this is a staple.
It was really
now.
Good.
Yeah,
I've made it since.
Nice.
Without rice, I was just trying to get rid of the rice.
Yeah,
you know, I'm not a big rice fan. So what you been doing besides
besides entertaining family and enjoying their company and all that stuff? And plus, I wouldn't say I haven't trained, but it's nice that I don't. The idea of leaving the island doesn't enter my mind. And so, you know, we'll do a couple, like we did when I did a couple things, but, Yeah, it's. I've just been trying to keep everything alive on my farm. It's like
well,
it's so,
so
much
dry,
so
huh?
dry, and
yeah.
and having to water. But things are coming in. You know, I've got you know, pears and peaches are starting, and apricots are mm-hmm. almost over. Those are doing great.
They're almost done.
They can kind of tolerate super hot.
Yeah. Well, they kind of like hot.
They do like hot.
Yeah.
Yeah. But basically, we got the whole family to the strawberry festival.
Mm. You know, wasn't it good this year?
It was really good.
Oh, I just had so much fun. I'm not normally a big festival goer.
Yeah.
I'm just not. But I was there both days this year.
Yeah. And I think you have to really approach it sort of like almost like an a la carte menu, you know, like it's
well,
not...
I was in a booth.
Yeah.
So I was doing the Vachon Repertory Theater booth and the Women Hold the Key booth. Mm-hmm. So I got front row seats to all of it, which
oh, yeah.
was really fun.
And the weather was nice.
And
it was
the weather
cooler.
Was beautiful. Last year it was so bloody hot we couldn't even see straight. I
yeah.
don't know if you remember that or mm-hmm. not, but it was awful. I thought the parade was hilarious.
It was a good parade.
And you were quite wonderful.
Why, thank you. I was carting. For those who don't watch my every move, I was in the parade with the Marine Band, and the Marine Band is not the Gomer Pyle type. It's the Salish Sea Marine Life.
Mm-hmm.
And so my friend Kate Thompson started this group. And she said we needed some fun and pizzazz in the parade a couple of years ago. And so she got her friends together and their friends together, and people make costumes mm-hmm. that are resembling sea creatures.
Right.
And I tried being Octavia the octopus,
mm-hmm.
but we share a similar size head, so I was getting I was getting a braid. In the test run, I was kind of getting head abrasions, you know, inside the costume.
Yeah.
And we decided that it's best if we put Octavia on a big tricycle, like a big
mm-hmm.
Adult tricycle, and then I pushed her around. And
I saw that, and you know, here's how silly I am. All I noticed was you.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't notice that you were part of this Marine Band. I thought Crazy Tom Conway is just going through the streets dressed like an octopus with a tricycle.
You know, I don't know what to think about that.
I loved it. I told all my friends about it.
Oh my God.
What you say is I resemble that remark.
Exactly. Yeah. I do.
Yeah.
And I don't.
Oh, I thought it was just great.
Yeah.
And there were so many kids and so many, we had apparently there's some child's movie about a princess that's quite all the rage right now. The Ice Princess or the something, I don't know.
Oh, I think it's, it's placed tonight, I think.
Oh, actually. Anyway, all these, one of the actors in our troupe uh-huh. was dressed as the princess, and these little kids were coming up to her really believing that she was the real thing. I mean, she had
wow.
on a long blonde wig and a big, beautiful satin gown and, you know, icicles, and it was just beautiful. And the kids just had a ball.
This is one of my favorite parts of when you're in the parade
mm-hmm.
is looking at all the faces of the people mm-hmm. watching the parade.
Mm-hmm.
It's really a spirit lifter, I tell
yeah.
you. People are just happy
yeah.
and kids are just excited, like giving you a high five. Giving the octopus a high five is like
mm-hmm.
the ultimate. It
yeah,
was great.
I know.
Yeah, it was really fun. And then what was the other thing? Oh, there was a Maury Island incident group.
I saw that one. That one was
some
great.
Space aliens and
mm-hmm.
yeah, there's a lot of good people.
There's some kooky people on this island, and most of them showed up.
Yeah.
For the parade this year. It was longer than usual. I thought it was great fun.
It was. And then there was a car parade the day before or the day after.
The day after. Yeah. I missed that.
Yeah. Well, you know what? Here, I'm going to give you a secret, but
okay.
don't everybody do this because it'll foul my plans
mm-hmm.
up. No, everyone's welcome. But I went early to where they were staging the cars.
Right.
And then I walked around the cars parked. And then stood on the corner of VCA mm-hmm. and Mingleman
mm-hmm.
and then watched them all pull out. And that was the start of the going to town
mm-hmm.
parade. And it was really great because it's really close to my house.
Well, and when you're walking around them as they're parked, you get to really look at them.
Exactly.
There's some beautiful specimens
and lots of
in
good
that parade.
Stories.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
So it was a good strawberry. In fact, let's see. What did we eat? We that's always the food was really good this year too, and they stayed open late. Like
uh-huh.
A couple of the booths were open during the concerts in the park.
That's nice.
Yeah, and I even my brother and sister and I were laughing because we were so proud that we stayed up to 9:30 to watch.
Yeah, see, I couldn't. The quest. I just couldn't.
And I brought Gus, and we sat there and watched the band, and mm-hmm. They're so good. Publish the Quest.
Yeah,
I'm a huge fan.
Yeah, they're good.
Yeah, so that was a good time.
It was. I ate Thai food at the fair.
Oh, I ate I had Syrian food. Mm-hmm. I had his, and he and his wife were so organized. You just you got really great food, but it was quick,
hot,
and
hot.
It's, and then we did the strawberry shortcake. Really good strawberry. We did the combo. Mm-hmm. I learned with my family in traveling. Hopefully they might listen to this, but they're going to be in Florida, so they can't beat me. But I've learned that I just sort of make the decision because I don't know. I've been single for so long mm-hmm. that I'm not used to like having people make decisions.
Like discussions.
Yeah. They're like, what do you want to eat? And I thought, oh my God, we won't eat till midnight.
If we're all going to vote.
Because nobody, so I thought, I knew everybody liked Syrian food. And so I just grabbed chicken for them, mm-hmm. lamb for me mm-hmm. and my brother. And, you know, mm-hmm. and then there was the choices for strawberry shortcake, you know, like with whipped cream, with ice cream, with both, without, you know, and I just got the one with every single thing on it.
Everything possible.
And we split it. It was good.
Yeah.
Nice job, gang.
I'm sure it was good. Well, it's been an interesting summer so far. You know,
it's been a beautiful summer.
It's just been gorgeous. And the food's just all been really good. I've been on a big food kick lately myself.
Yeah. Have you made anything cool lately?
You know, I've been on a Middle Eastern kick mm-hmm. lately. And I made a Greek salad with watermelon and peaches, and it still had feta and tomatoes and onions and all that stuff in it.
And that combo of flavors worked.
Oh, man. It was so good and so refreshing on a hot night. I love that.
Yeah, I just had one where they a salad where it was a beet salad with feta.
Mm-hmm.
That was
love
really
that.
Good.
I love that very much. And I've been heavy. Oh, Farmer's Market mm-hmm. has, and they don't, I don't know the name of the company. But it's the only hummus booth there. Mm-hmm. But they have the best hummus ever, ever. And there's like 10 different kinds. Lemon and dill and artichoke and baba ganoush and all kinds of flavors of hummus. And then the very best homemade pita. I mean the very best. So I've been eating a lot of pita lately. And one of my favorite things was a roasted beet dip. Like you just roast your beets and put a little bit of sour cream and a little bit of garlic in it. And
was this part of the hummus product or?
No, that's what I invented.
Oh, this is a separate. Okay.
Yeah, yeah. But I had the pita from the hummus booth at the farmer's market.
Oh, okay.
And to dip that in that beet, speaking of beets, in that beet dip, it was just heavenly. And so nice and cold on a hot evening.
Yeah, it's been really good. It's been good. You know who else had a great thing for the Strawberry Festival is the cider.
Oh, yeah.
The cidery had those donuts.
The donuts. Cider donuts.
Cider donuts with whipped cream and strawberries.
Yeah, they did that last year, too.
So do you puree the
beets? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. That wasn't clear.
Roast them and puree them and add a little bit of garlic, a little bit of sour cream.
Oh, okay.
It's important.
Put some dill in there. You know, whatever you'd put in beets.
Yeah.
And then sprinkle feta on top of it and scoop it up with your pita bread.
Oh, baby.
And it's important to be sitting on a white leather couch with a white linen shirt.
Yes, and be sure you have no nearby napkins.
Exactly.
And have OxyClean on the whole.
Yeah, for sure. That's for sure.
Oh, that's funny.
You know, cooking with beets, you walk around for a week with looking like you haven't washed your hands for a month, you know?
Yeah, like I'm just trying out for Sweeney Todd.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that for sure. Yeah.
My gosh. Oh, speaking of which, sorry, one more thing about the parade, Sister Act is going to be performing a drama doc, and they were in the parade, and that was really fun.
I can't wait to see the play.
That'll be great.
I think it'll be really fun to see.
I need something cheery.
Yeah. So back to the Middle Eastern thing mm-hmm. I made, which you can tell me what you think of. Mm-hmm. I made, for the people who can't see it, I made what is called a Persian love cake. And I said it's bittersweet.
In fact, Truman and I are hugging right now. It's taken over. We are feeling the love. And we're not even Persian.
Yeah, and we're not even Persian.
But I am a bit bitter.
Yeah, so. That's right. That is part of the cake, isn't it?
Oh, I see. I think of you as sweet. I don't think of you as bitter. So this recipe is so good and so easy, and I don't know
delicious.
I don't know what possessed me, but you boil two oranges for an hour. You simmer, you just, not like hard boil, but you just kind of simmer two whole oranges for an hour. And you grind.
Wait, whole? You don't cut them up?
Mm-mm.
Whole. Oh, okay.
You put them in the pot whole, and then you grind up pistachios, and you grind up almonds, and then there are two eggs in it. There's quite a bit of honey, like maybe two-thirds of a cup, maybe, of honey. Mm-hmm. And you just mix all that together. A little baking soda, not baking powder, a little baking soda. And just mix it all together and put it in a spring pot.
No flour.
No flour. It's, okay, it's really, totally gluten-free.
Let me just go over it really quick. You've got ground pistachios, ground almonds, boiled, that you probably deseeded, but...
No,
you don't. You put this...
No, you put... And then what happens after they're boiled, you let them cool a little bit so you can touch them, and then cut them in half, put them in your blender, and puree the whole thing. And then you mix that in with everything.
Okay.
And three eggs.
It's crazy. It's light, yet... heavy-ish.
It's dense,
it's
but
dense,
light.
That's the word.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Dare I say, moist.
Don't say that word.
Okay, I'm sorry. It is M-O-I-S-T.
Well, you said it was an adult cake.
It's an adult cake.
Because kids aren't going to like this cake.
No, they're going to go Mommy, can I have some cream cheese icing or something? But it really is great. It's like a... It'd be really good with like an after-dinner drink, like Drambuie or Grand Marnier or... Mm-hmm. You know,
well, it tastes, it reminds me of Grand Marnier.
Yeah.
The taste of it does. Also, in the morning, with a cup of big, rich coffee, it's really good.
Well, yeah. Grand Marnier is the orange. I mean, that's where
For sure.
Oh,
I
that's
know.
Right.
I know. Yeah. Yeah.
Much been challenged.
I used to be a Grand Marnier aficionado back in the day.
That's what I
swirl it around in that brandy snifter. It's more about the ritual than anything else, I think.
Yeah.
But I did like it. So, yeah, so I've been doing that. And
that sounds delicious.
I haven't really had any company this summer to speak of. I may get some, and I will be some. I'm going to go see my son in a couple of weeks, and we're going to have a pig out session.
Down in Oregon?
No, the one in Seattle.
I'm going
to go spend the long weekend with him, and I think that'll be fun.
Yeah.
So I've just been enjoying all the... Oh, you know, one of the best things happened, Tom.
Yeah.
So we both... Well, you have a friend named Barbara, who you know.
Yeah, Miss Barbara Brands.
Yeah, and she contacted me the other day via Facebook, via the Stirring the Pot Facebook page, and said that she was just having the worst luck with her peach cobbler, and that you had sent her the recipe, but she just thought she'd get in touch with me and see if I had any advice. And she said, I've been using frozen peaches. I did it twice. And I think what she was doing was she was cooking with the peaches frozen. So then there's just way too much liquid. So I sent her the recipe again, and I said, if you're using fresh, and she's in Texas, you know, where they have fabulous peaches. She had 15 pounds of peaches, and she had to freeze them because there was some family thing that happened, and she had to put them in the freezer. They would spoil.
That's why they were frozen, because I wasn't sure why she had frozen peaches.
Yeah, they were fresh, but she had to freeze them quickly for some reason. And so I sent her the, for those of you who looked, there was a mistake in the original posting of the recipe. So I sent her the complete recipe. Anyway, I heard back from her today, and she said she is in peach heaven, over the moon, best cobbler she's ever had in her entire life. So
thank you, Barbara.
Yeah, thank you, Barbara. And what's really gratifying, I know you feel this way too, Tom, is when we hear from our listeners and we hear from somebody that's actually paying attention. It's kind of fun. It was really rewarding to me. I said it made me feel so happy to know that somebody really did that and believed it.
Yeah.
And now she's a true believer. You know,
excellent.
You'll never have peach cobbler like this. Never.
Okay. I'm a believer, and I'm going to make it. Waiting for my peaches to be ripe.
I think I got another
week before I have a bunch of peaches.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you been having any good ice cream?
Oh, I'm a big fan of sorbets or sherbets, and I'm also a big fan of ice cream too. But the latest one I made is it's so good and really, really simple. It's a raspberry sorbet, and because we live in such a great part of the world for berries, it's like something that you could easily try, and
With any berry, really?
Yeah, with any berry.
Mm-hmm.
But basically what you do is you get 2 cups of raspberries. And, you know, heaping's always good. You don't have, you mm-hmm. know, no need to be stingy. Heaping raspberries and 1.5 cups of sugar. And, you know, don't do that thing where you go like, oh, I'm just going to use less sugar. Just
no,
follow
just
the
don't.
Dang recipe, okay? Don't make me come out there.
I'm
going to be the guy who get off my lawn, porch guy, yeah. when it comes to cooking. Because so many times I give recipes and I go, oh, what if I just reduce the fat? And I go, what if you just have a bad meal?
Hey, you know, Tom.
Yes.
Let me tell you something. Okay. You already are that guy.
I already am that guy. It's like you have to go, you have to gently say, well,
is there a way to make this low fat?
That. Yeah.
No.
No, just no. Eat less, man.
Use the butter.
Yeah, use the butter and eat less.
Yeah. Okay, so.
Okay, so you got the back, we'll go back.
Okay, back to the raspberry.
Two cups of raspberries, 1.5 cups of sugar,
mm-hmm.
the juice from a lime.
Okay.
And this really does make a difference. I think use a fresh lime. Don't use that bottle
don't
lime
use that
juice.
Bottle stuff.
And then 2 cups of buttermilk. And so here's the process.
Buttermilk.
You puree your berries in a mm-hmm. blender.
Mm-hmm.
And then you add the sugar. Puree. Mm-hmm. Brr, 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 brr.
Yeah.
That's my puree sound. And then you add the lime juice. Brr, 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 mm-hmm. Puree.
So you're pulsing.
I'm pulsing. Oh, that's it. Pulsing.
You're
Thank
not
you.
Pureeing. You're
I'm
not, pulsing.
I'm pureeing while I pulse. Brr. I'm pulsing while I puree. And then you add the buttermilk. That's that sound. And you've got this whole blended mixture. Then what if you really want to make it super fancy, and you should because it really is nice, you put it through a sieve, and it takes all the seeds out.
Yeah.
And you strain it through a metal sieve, and then you chill it. It's really good to chill it because before you put it in an ice cream machine or because it just it performs better than...
Do you have to use a machine?
Yeah, I would.
Oh.
Yeah, an ice cream maker, you don't have to do one of those hand crank things or anything.
Well, I know.
But I tell you what, you go to Granny's, there's an ice cream maker there every single time.
They're
the ones that have the unit you put in the freezer.
Right, like the day before.
Yeah, like Cuisinart makes it.
Yeah.
And it just rotates and you've got an insert.
Yeah.
And you just put it in there until it gets thick and creamy and frozen and wonderful.
Mm.
And then you get a couple smelling salts because you'll have the vapors and faint.
and then you don't invite anybody over.
Exactly. Yeah. It's that good. It's only 2 cups of raspberries, 1.5 cups of sugar, a lime, and 2 cups of buttermilk. And you'll think it'll taste like buttermilk. It does not taste like buttermilk.
No, it wouldn't. It wouldn't. Well, you know, I don't have a machine. An ice cream machine, and I'm not going to get one. I have a little kitchen, and real estate in my kitchen is really prime.
Have a dishwasher on your counter.
Well, so
I mean, I'm not judging.
Don't.
But what else is on you? Wait, let's just go through like her sanctimonious cry for nothing on the counter. What's on your counter?
I have a food processor.
Uh-huh.
I have a blender.
Uh huh.
I have a
KitchenAid mixer.
KitchenAid mixer.
Uh-huh.
I have an espresso machine.
Air fryer.
Air fryer.
Uh huh.
I have a bucket of tools.
How big is this cabinet?
Oh, it's my countertop.
The countertop. Oh, it's about
my cabinets are full. What are you kidding?
If you put it together, it'd be about the size of a card table. So
that's not true. It's little, but you know, everything's within reach.
No, it's totally convenient.
Yeah, but I'm not going to have that because there's no room in my cupboard for it, and I'm not leaving the ice cream maker out.
No, so, but if you ever want to borrow mine, I'm putting it out there. You can borrow mine.
Thank you, but can I tell you about how to make ice cream without one?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yes, color me interested.
Okay, well, there's a couple different ways. You know, Semifreddo. You've had Semifreddo.
Yeah.
You can do that.
Tell people what Semifreddo is.
Well, it's an Italian kind of meringue ice creamy thing that's frozen. I make it in a loaf pan.
Right, usually a loaf pan.
Yeah.
Usually you slice it and you have like thick slice, like pound. Like if you pretend it's pound cake, but it's
right,
not that
but,
sort
but
of,
it's
looks like that.
That yeah, it looks
cream.
Like that. And I made a pistachio one. You know, I've been on this pistachio kick for months. And So you just, you again, grind the pistachios and put some sugar in it, and then you beat some egg whites till they form a stiff peak, and then you whip some cream in a separate bowl, and then you combine it all, you know, do all that, and then you cover and freeze it for 5 hours.
If you wanted to make basically ice cream without making ice cream with a machine,
right,
you would look for a recipe for semi-freddo.
Or yeah, if you want some soft serve ice cream with no machine,
yeah,
here's a recipe.
Do I get to do blender sounds?
Well, you can do the mixer sound. Okay. So this is really fun for kids. Mm-hmm. This is really fun. You need Ziploc bags to make this one.
Okay.
So you put heavy cream, like a half a cup of heavy cream, and some salt.
Just a half a cup?
Yeah. Just a half a cup of heavy cream and a half a cup of whole milk.
Okay.
Okay. And then you put in had some kind of sugar. I put that, like a quarter cup of sugar. Okay, put that in your Ziploc bag. Okay. Seal it up. Shake it around until the sugar dissolves. Okay, then you shake it, and then you open the bag and just get as much air out of it as you know. Uh-huh. You squeeze the air out and seal it up again, and now you get your second plastic bag, and you put ice in it with some rock salt, like you use like you would use in the churn, and then you have the milk bag in the other bag with the ice, and you shake it 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 and you shake it, and pretty soon it's ice cream.
So you put
it's soft serve.
You put the mix inside the bag that has the ice.
Yes.
So you want to.
So you have a bag of ice and you have a bag of the mix of the milk and cream.
But you want
cream
a smaller bag of the mix, I would assume, to go in.
Well, I don't know. I just use two big ones and then just get the air out of the one with the milk in it.
Well, and
where did you come up with this little thing? This little.
Well, I didn't invent it.
Did you? Yeah. Where'd you see it? Did you see it in an article or something? Or it's just so unusual.
It's so old.
Yeah,
I don't know. Yeah, it's an old thing. I did it with my kids.
Summer. Yeah.
I did it with my kids. And you can put some fresh blueberries in there or some raspberries, you know, or it's just, and it's soft serve. You know, you don't freeze it.
Yeah.
Don't freeze it or it's not, it gets crystally. And so you just put it in the freezer long enough till it's kind of.
My sister was a science teacher. And I remember her, she said they used to do something like this to show kids about temperature changes, and they would they would make at the they would make ice cream like that.
Yeah. I mean, it's simple and it's fun, and kids love it. And you know, then there's another thing that I have made. I actually have made this one too. I am an ice cream fan, as you may have well guessed. But this is also, you don't need a churn. So in this, I'll give you the exact recipe for this one because I happen to have it here.
Excellent.
A can of sweetened condensed milk. And some people don't like that, but I happen to love it. A teaspoon of, I use vanilla paste. You can use vanilla extract, but I love vanilla paste. And 2 cups of heavy whipping cream. So you mix the whipped cream to the stiff peak, but you don't want it dry. You know, you just don't want to whip it too dry. Then you fold about half of that into this. You have your sweetened condensed milk in a bowl, okay, and you're whipping your cream, and then you put about half of that into the bowl of sweetened condensed milk and stir that up a little bit. Then you put in the remaining whipped cream and put it in the freezer and freeze it for 4 or 5 hours, and then scoop it up and eat it. Yeah.
Really?
I'm telling you.
Wow.
I'm telling you. It's really good.
Okay, one more time.
The recipe.
Yeah.
A can of sweetened condensed milk.
Got it.
Some vanilla paste or extract.
Okay, yeah.
So stir that up in a bowl.
Yeah.
Then you put 2 cups of heavy whipping cream in another bowl, and you whip that.
Whip that.
Okay. Then you take half of that whipping cream, mold it in with with your sweetened condensed, and then add the rest of it. You just do it a half and half at a time. It eventually all goes in there.
Okay.
And then
and freeze it.
Then you just put it in a container and freeze it.
I'll be dang.
For 4 or 5 hours. You don't even have to do it overnight. It's good.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's really not ice cream. I mean, it tastes, it has that sweetened condensed milk flavor to it, and vanilla-y. You can put some fruit in there too, but it's really good. And just make sure that your heavy whipping cream is really, really cold. In fact, I put mine in the freezer for 15, 20 minutes before I whip it.
Get it going.
It's really cold. Yeah. So, you know, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I think ice cream, I'm going to go home and
You're salivating, aren't you?
And go like, I don't need some ice cream. Yeah. I just had an ice cream cone before I came here.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, Bing cherry. It was really
good.
Ooh,
I love Bing cherries. Mm-hmm. Cherries have been excellent this year.
They have been superb.
They've been so good.
Yeah.
I think they're about done now too, though, aren't they?
Yeah, they are.
Sadly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, can we talk about potato salad?
Sure.
Do you like potato salad?
I love potato salad.
How about you, Truman?
Well, being originally from Texas,
yes.
I'm used to...
I knew you were going to have a Texas thing to say.
That's a different potato salad than you get.
Yeah, tell us about that.
Well,
is it a German hit?
No, it's dry. It's not liquidy wet like the potato salad up here. It's drier, and it seems like it's got some red stuff in it. I don't know if it's tomatoes or... It was pimento or
red
what?
Pepper. Yeah, probably pimento.
Probably might be pimentos.
But something
Does
red.
Does it have olives in it?
No. Oh, gosh, no. No, no.
Well, my ex-mother-in-law is from Texas, and she made that dry potato salad, but it had olives in it. And I was going to say maybe the red came from the pimento and the olive.
Oh, it could be.
I don't know.
I was not a big olive fan.
No. Olives do not belong in potato salad. No.
Well, it's a different kind of potato salad.
Yeah, I mean, one you shouldn't eat.
So what do you like, Tom? You like regular potato salad, like mayonnaise-based potato salad?
You know, it's so condescending, wasn't that, Tom?
Yeah, I heard that.
Like that.
I
heard that.
Oh, was it?
Yeah,
it was.
It's very judgy.
Oh, come on.
She was definitely talking down.
Yeah, do you like that stuff you get at the deli section?
You like Reese's? Do you like Reese's?
Yeah. Let me try to rise above the inquiry. What I like, it's funny. I grew up with the sort of standard Midwest and southern and Midwest. We had grandparents in the Midwest and we lived in the South.
Yeah.
But it was always like a lot of mayo, and some people use Miracle Whip, and they would do basically relish and celery with.
Sweet relish.
Sweet relish, Not dill.
Not dill.
No, you're right. That's it.
The people I hung out with. But then I had... Not people I hung out. The people I hung out didn't do that. But what the one I like now, I got from a friend of mine, Sarah, who's a really good cook. And I'm not sure where she got... I'm not sure where she got this recipe. But what's so weird about it is it's ridiculously simple and you're kind of going like... You know, like, what? That was it? That's the recipe? You know, like, what's water? What? No, it's basically, I usually use Yukon Golds. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you just boil them until they're soft. Mm-hmm. Cut them up and cube them while they're warm.
Right.
And then you take about six to as many eggs as your hard-boiled eggs, chop those up, and you mix that while it's warm with the warm potatoes. Mm-hmm. And then you put, you know, whatever amount of mayonnaise you like in it. But then the thing that makes it really good, and it seems like that's it, but you know, salt and pepper.
No pickles?
No pickles. And this is, but it's so crazy good. Mm. And then a bunch of sweet onions like Walla Walla's
or Vidalia.
And so you got onions, potatoes, mayonnaise.
Eggs,
and that's kind of it. But it's such a
really
solidly
good
flavor.
Well, you know, the warm thing is the key to it, I think, because those potatoes really absorb the other flavors of the other things that are in there.
Yeah.
Well, my grandma, when I was a kid, made the best potato salad I think I ever had. And I thought that for years and years
Was she a Montana gal?
Well, she was originally Wisconsin.
Yeah, Wisconsin, okay.
Mm-hmm. But so, Midwest, a lot of mayonnaise,
oh,
you know.
No.
Yeah, sure, you bet you. So there it was mayonnaise, and hers was kind of, it wasn't wet, really soupy wet, but it was moist.
Mm-hmm.
And it had, she chopped up a lot of dill pickles, onions, and yellow mustard, and mayonnaise.
Yeah, the mustard is one of those things where, that's another thing I don't particularly like in potato salad.
Oh, I do.
Like, you have to really, you can be booby trapped by Reese's potato salad. Like I got it home and I took a big bite of it. I was like, ugh.
Oh, was it
and
too mustardy?
They have a version that's called mustard
potato
salad. Oh. And look at that label because it just says, oh, potato salad. And then you look under it and it's
mustard's the first ingredient.
Nefarious little label there that goes mustard potato salad.
Occasionally it's called for, I think. I like mustard in my potato salad. However,
just a soupçon.
Soupçon, yes. There are other alternatives, and one of the ones that I do like is olive oil. Mm-hmm. Red, and again, the potatoes are warm.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I use Yukon Gold because I think they're the best. So olive oil, red wine vinegar, a little bit of lemon zest, a little bit of lemon juice, a sprinkle of Dijon mustard, some garlic, parsley, and rosemary. And so
that sounds good.
And that's
it's
potato
really
salad?
Good.
Is that German?
Well, it's called potato salad. It ventures into the German realm,
yeah,
kind of, with the vinegar and but then you have rosemary in it, which is different, you know, and it's lighter. It's mm-hmm. not weighed down by so much mayonnaise.
You know? What's great about, as a side dish, potato salad, one mm-hmm. of its, to me, inherent qualities is, it keeps really well.
It does.
And so when I make potato salad, you never make a little.
Mm-mm.
And so I'm
Mm-mm.
eating potato salad morning, noon, and mm-hmm. night, you know. Mm-hmm. But it's a nice little side thing.
When I was growing up, we had a potato salad bowl. It was the bowl. It was the big yellow Pyrex bowl.
Oh, my
remember
God, yeah, that?
That
was our popcorn
that's where
bowl.
We made the potato salad. Yeah. And so it was, you know, make the potato salad. The questions were like, well, so am I making something in the potato salad bowl? Yeah, make a potato salad bowl size up, mm-hmm. you know, whatever it was, whether it was baked beans or, you know, green beans or whatever it was.
Yeah.
The measure was the potato salad bowl. Or am I using the pint bowl for the, mm-hmm. you know, it's.
Or is that the tuna fish salad bowl?
The tuna fish salad bowl. Yeah. There you go. I have that yellow bowl of my mom's, actually. Yeah. Yeah,
there was a yellow, a red, and a green. That's what
yes,
we had.
That sort of turquoisey, greeny green.
But we never had the blue one. There was like
I never had
there
a blue
was like
one.
A royal blue one. I've seen.
We only had
we've
yellow.
We've only heard of it.
We only had yellow. Those other people had that one.
One of my favorite bowls is called a crack pot.
Oh,
it has a handle. Well, almost a handle, and a very sharp edge for breaking eggs. And it's you know. It's about that big for you people listening on the radio.
Is it a ceramic?
No, it's plastic.
Oh.
Yeah, it's yellow on the outside, white on the inside.
A crack bowl.
Yeah, it's crack pot, I think it's called.
Oh, crack pot.
Yeah.
A crack bowl is a whole different thing,
yeah,
isn't
yeah,
it?
No,
oh, geez.
No. But anyway, it's got a little sharp edge for cracking eggs.
Wow.
Yeah,
I never
cool.
heard of such a
yeah,
thing.
Yeah.
Huh. Interesting. Well, I just think potato salad is an interesting subject because so many people have so many different ideas about what it is.
Yeah, it is that time of year where we're definitely into our salad mode. You know,
mm-hmm.
like I went over to a friend's house for dinner last night, and it was really lovely. We were sitting out. This thing was so great. They had a big umbrella, and they're on Maury mm-hmm. Island, and for some reason, where they are, there's usually a lot of mosquito conventions going on.
Oh.
And so they have this big umbrella, but then they got this netting that is like for the tropics that you put over your bed.
Oh,
You know, and that you're under it, and then the bugs
or
don't bite
you. Or if you're on
you.
Safari.
Yeah, if you're on safari.
Mm-hmm.
So they put it on their umbrella and pulled it over the umbrella.
Oh, how fun.
And it was great.
Oh, yeah.
And then it was like all the wasps were sitting there, you know, banging into it. And, you know, like, we smell salmon, you know. But what was, it was really a lovely dinner because, you know, just in general, but it was all about salads. So they had a smoked, cold smoked salmon,
mm-hmm.
which was really nice.
Mm.
But everyone brought a salad, and there was a couscous salad,
mm-hmm.
and then there was a lentil salad, potato salad. That was where the beet and feta salad
mm-hmm.
was. And then there was a tomato salad with garbanzo beans.
Oh.
So a lot of, you know, I think this time of year you can get really creative with your side dishes being cool and salad-y.
I'm not a big fan of garbanzo beans. You know, I love hummus.
Yeah.
Which doesn't make any sense.
No, it does.
The flavor's good, but the garbanzo bean itself. I'm that way with fava beans too.
I kind of feel like it's in culinary talk, it's kind of like the stone in your shoe. Like you're, it's just sort of when you're eating, you know, it's like, boom, ow, what's that?
What is
it
that?
It kind of, yeah.
Yeah,
And it seems like it doesn't, it needs to be its own thing. Mm-hmm. Like when it doesn't play well with others, I think, as well.
No,
but a lot of people
will disagree with that,
but...
I think most people I know would disagree with that.
But I love hummus.
I love hummus.
Pureed. It wants
but,
to be
you know,
pureed.
It's baby food.
It's baby food. And our teeth aren't what they used to be.
I know. We're just getting older and older by the minute. So, you know, right. We like our hummus.
We get to go, mate. We get some pita. Mm-hmm. And then we...
Can I have some pita,
oh,
please?
That's why we like the baba ganoush with it, too. The baba ganoush.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. My eggplant... I think I might get one eggplant by November if I'm lucky, or by October.
Speaking of eggplant, yes. I haven't tried this recipe yet, but I discovered this woman on YouTube, and I can't tell you her name, but she does a YouTube thing called My Greek Kitchen. My mm-hmm. Greek Kitchen. And she does tours through Greece. And so she tells you about the city she's in and some of the history and then the local foods. And one of the salads that she makes is roasted eggplant and roasted peppers and roasted this and roasted that and charred. Everything is charred. And then it's got just, you know, swimming in olive oil and spices and herbs and I can't wait to try
that
it. I love eggplants.
Eggplant is one of the misunderstood vegetables.
It really is. It truly, truly is. I love eggplant.
It is vegetable royalty, and it's mm-hmm. treated like a serf.
Well, you're the lord of the manor. You
That's
know.
I do.
You do know. You know, another thing that I've discovered, well, not really discovered. I didn't discover it, but am recently acquainted with.
Yes.
Is grilled halloumi. Do you like halloumi?
You know, I...
Excuse me, are we keeping you
awake?
Sorry,
I had a big yawn there, friends. It was, it's like, oh, not halloumi. We're not talking about that, are we? I swore off talking about halloumi in 1994.
1984.
Yeah.
Halloumi is a Greek cheese. I think it's Greek.
Yeah. I don't know.
Isn't it? It's something
you know,
Middle Eastern.
That's one of my gap. That's a gap in my knowledge.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, it's kind of a. It comes in a block and it's firm, but it's you can fry it or you can grill it, and it gets melty. The outside stays firm, but the inside gets all melty and drippy. And oh man, it's good.
Yeah, I'll have to give it a try. I just never have had it. I think I might have had it once and I thought it was, or either I had fried tofu and I thought it was halloumi and I went, that's not really very good.
It's from Cyprus.
Well, there you go.
Cyprus. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's really good. It's
fact check.
Doing all the talking about the different kinds of salads and barbecues and that kind of thing. When you're doing a roasted vegetable or grilled vegetables of any kind, throw some halloumi on the grill at the same time and enjoy that with your vegetables. It's just so good.
Oh, I'll give that a shot.
Yeah. And I don't, yeah, they have halloumi at Thriftway. I know that.
Okay.
I got some at a market in Kirkland the other day, but.
See, it's for grilling, they say.
Yeah, grilling or in a frying pan on the stove. Yeah, you don't have to fire up the grill, but it's really good. It's just.
Oh, if you could.
Tasty like a, thing. I wonder what?
Like a grilled cheese sandwich. But then that wouldn't, that, never mind. I didn't mean to say that. Take it back.
Well, I don't know.
You know, if you could grill it.
You could put it in the pita.
You grill it and then put it in the pita and then grill a pita.
Yeah, we maybe had invented something there.
That's right.
Hey, so salads, okay?
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of green salads, I'm sorry to say, except for rocket. I love... What's the other word? Arugula.
Arugula is awesome.
I love arugula. And, you know, green salad's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But you're growing some interesting lettuces this year, aren't you?
Yeah, I sort of stick with a couple that I really like and that I just know I'll... You know, a lot of times you plant all sorts of interesting salad lettuces and then you... I get kind of tired of the mix.
Yeah.
But I
do you remember a couple of weeks ago I was over at your house and you offered me a bag of red lettuce?
Yes, you
and
did.
I said no.
She said no.
You were so insulted.
I was crestfallen.
I didn't just say no.
And
I said no, thank you.
He goes, hell no. It was, I forgot this variety, but it's a really beautiful grape-colored lettuce.
Oh.
It's really good. But the ones I like are sort of more like a butter crunch lettuce.
Butter's
butter
good.
Lettuce. Like one's called Little Jim, which is actually a little miniature romaine. And it's just awesome. It's called
Little
Jim.
Those are my two favorite lettuces.
G-E-M, Little Jim. And then there's another one
called... That goes with your little cabin.
It does.
Little Gemma.
And then there's one called Tennis Ball. And it's really good.
Does
it
come like in a little tight ball?
Yeah, it's like a tiny little iceberg-y lettuce, but it's more of a butter lettuce. Mm-hmm. And just a tiny little ball.
So are you eating salads then?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And a lot of times if you cut off the top of the lettuce, you leave the core and the roots in, mm-hmm. it'll sprout individual lettuce leaves that you can get a good another couple weeks off of.
In the garden, you leave it in the dirt.
Yeah, you don't pull it up. Some lettuces won't do that, some will. Mm. But experiment. When you're cutting your lettuce and you cut it, don't pull it up, the roots out. Just see what happens if you cut it, leave it about an inch above the soil line. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it sprouts new, if you water it, new leaves that are delicious.
You know what I like? I like a thick lettuce leaf.
Yeah, like a romaine?
Yeah, like a romaine or a butter or, you know, even a spinach leaf. I don't care for those spring mix.
Yeah, like a black seeded Simpson and some other ones are very.
I wouldn't know that.
They're almost like sort of crepey. They're crepey.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They give you something to munch on. Mm-hmm. There's a little crispy to them.
Do you like them grilled?
Lettuce?
Yeah.
I like grilled Caesar, grilled romaine. Yeah.
Grilled romaine.
Yeah.
That is a good thing. And grilled radicchio is great.
Oh, it probably is.
It's really
I didn't think about that.
Yeah, there used to be a restaurant, and I think it was a Maple Leaf Grill. First time I ever had it, they had a grilled radicchio salad. It was like pretty, at first you're going like, this is kind of bitter, but I'm thinking I like it. Oh my God, I love it.
I know.
You're having a conversation with your taste buds.
Yeah, because it is kind of shocking at first.
Do you know, that reminds me of another great salad. Mm. And because it has bacon in it, but wilted salads are one of my favorite things.
I love the wilted lettuce salad.
With either wilted spinach or wilted, and you just basically drain the pan that you fried the bacon in. So there's just about a tablespoon or so of bacon fat, maybe maybe 3 tablespoons,
maybe a quarter cup,
maybe a gallon.
Yeah,
and then you spritz your favorite vinegar over it. Mm-hmm. You know, usually apple cider is traditional, but like sherry vinegar is really good. And you just heat it, there's enough heat in the pan to wilt the lettuce.
Don't you put a little sugar in it too?
You can.
I think a little sugar.
Yeah, and then boiled eggs again.
Yeah.
Boiled eggs, bacon, wilted spinach. That's so good.
I think that's it.
Yeah.
Not too
bacon,
much stuff
eggs,
in it.
Not too much.
Yeah. Do you put apple in it?
Not that I've ever had, but you know, you
could.
Yeah.
There's no reason not to.
Yeah, be nice.
Apples and bacon
go well.
We have
to be nice to Truman because he helps us.
No.
But apples and bacon work.
I think that would be good.
Anything in bacon.
You know, that would be a good, more robusty salad. Yeah. It'd be good.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Then you could put some peaches in it, a little, you know, we go all to town, get something crunchy in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Wilted lettuce salad. I haven't even thought of that in
years. That's a great
salad. That's really 1950s kind of cooking, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. We used to have those when I was a kid. My mom had a beautiful garden, huge, huge garden that she was a slave to, and she made me be a slave to it too. So that's why I don't garden to this day. Just so you know the psychology behind that.
Always about the mother.
So should I go into therapy?
We talked about you bringing up stuff like this.
Oh yeah, I know. I'm not supposed to do this. I know. I loved my mother and she was a great mom, but I didn't like gardening. I really never did. But I loved the produce and the product of her slave labor. It was wonderful. And wilted lettuce salads and wilted spinach salads in the summertime were.
Mm-hmm. Same with like a hot cabbage salad, you know, in the fall when you get cabbage.
I've never had that.
Yeah, you basically do the same thing, but you sort of let it cook a little bit more. So it's still got a crunch, but it's still soft.
I read a recipe yesterday that I'm saving for autumn, as you were talking about, for cabbage. And you do it in a cast iron skillet. You make wedges, and it's got cream and cheese and all kinds of things in it, and it turns golden milty. They call it $1 million cabbage. You know, there's this craze now. I don't know if you know it or not. It's $1 million chicken, $1 million this, $1 million that. It's kind of, it just means it's really rich and probably pretty bad for you. I mean, you know, how to ruin the health status of a cabbage, but It just looked really good. Like it melts in your mouth, and it's called Million Dollar Cabbage. Yeah, you can look that up on the web. It's
there's
there.
There's a really good recipe I have. It's really simple for cabbage, where you slice up a cabbage, and then you just do a quick tossing in a little bit of olive oil, or even a little bit of butter if you want. Mm-hmm. You put it in a casserole dish, and then you crumble sausage on it, like Italian sausage. Is really good. And then you bake it forever.
So it's just but, sausage and cabbage.
Yeah,
basically.
So that's it, and a little and a little bit of butter that you mix on, and then you bake it for almost like an hour and a half in the oven,
and it's all melty.
And it's all melty, and it just becomes a sort of seriously wonderful slop.
Well, you know, our friend Heidi Skrypek makes her roast chicken with cabbage, and she puts. Instead, she puts the chicken on a rack in the pan, but underneath the rack, she puts huge slabs of cabbage.
Oh.
So that chicken fat just drips down on that cabbage.
Heidi.
And it's,
that
oh man.
Good.
Yeah. So let's talk about cabbage for a minute. What about, what kind of time are we? We're getting there. What about coleslaw in the summertime? Mm. How do you like your coleslaw?
Funny you should mention, I eat a lot of coleslaw in the summer. I just do sort of that old Southern and again Midwestern too, where you do that boiled coleslaw dressing where it's mayonnaise and a little bit of sugar and a little bit of lemon juice, and usually you heat it up.
Oh, I don't know this one at all.
Yeah, let me look it up.
Well, my coleslaw, while you're looking that up, I'll tell you about my coleslaw is heavy whipping cream that you don't whip. With a little bit of vinegar and a little bit of sugar. Yeah. Oh, maybe some caraway seeds, maybe. Maybe a little bit of onion.
Shred the cabbage.
Shred the cabbage, And just some cream and vinegar and sugar. Yeah. Oh, man, it's good. Yeah.
Do you like it? You know, there's we're so full of opinions, but that's why we're radio stars.
that's why we're so rich and famous.
That's right. That's why we can't go to a 7-Eleven without somebody recognizing us.
No, I don't know what that says about you, Tom.
Exactly.
Getting your big Slurpee.
Getting my big Slurpee. what were we talking about?
Oh, coleslaw.
Oh, coleslaw. Oh, yeah. So the one that I was going to tell you was the boiled. I had it right here where I. Sorry.
Oh dear.
Oh, I know. How tedious.
I know. This is very tedious. But you were going to say you had some witty remark to make about it, but I suppose it's gone.
I did. Yeah. Oh, I know what it was. Now I do.
Okay, good.
You know, what's with chopped coleslaw? That is not coleslaw.
Oh, that is not coleslaw.
You just march back into that kitchen and you shred it.
You just fry that up. If you're going to chop it, you better fry it.
If coleslaw is shredded lettuce.
Shredded cabbage.
And finely in my book. I like it really fine.
I don't care how fine it is, really, as long as it's, I mean, the cabbage that, the way that we made it when, you know, back when I was a kid before food processors or shredding machines were there, we just sliced it really, really thin.
Yeah,
I mean,
like,
just
spaghetti
thin.
Angel
yes.
hair even better, yeah. but it's not
linguine. No, it's not.
Do you have carrots in it?
Shredded carrot, maybe.
Yeah.
I mean, it's okay. I don't miss it when we don't, you know.
If you want a little color. You know, apples are good in that,
yes.
Truman.
Yeah, apples are good in that.
Sorry,
what if you could put some bacon in there, too?
Oh, God. Are you kidding?
Some bacon and cream.
And butter.
And butter. Well, then suddenly we have a whole new thing, you know. I think that's how dishes are invented, the accidental method. So what else you got, Tom?
What else I got? Let's see. Oh, you know, I went to a restaurant off island.
Okay, let's make sure we know that.
I was loving, like, you know what's really changed in restaurants for me?
What?
Is I sort of eat out infrequently now just because of affordability.
Uh-huh.
But I get it. I get it what it costs. I'm not begrudging what things cost.
It's just more than my wallet can handle.
Yeah, I just have to sort of really pace myself. And so I went to a place. And they had this thing that sounded so good. And I thought, oh, okay, I'm going to splurge, you know. And it was a salmon Benedict.
Mm.
And it was one of those things where it's the sum of the parts. And it's so frustrating when you spend a healthy amount of money. And it's like this sounds, I mean,
how was the Hollandaise?
My tough life. I'm whining about Sam and Benedict, but it's one of those things where you go like, God, they missed every beat. Mm-hmm. Like the salmon was overcooked. Mm-hmm. The minimal, like the Hollandaise sauce came out of an eyedropper, you know? It's like,
yeah. And that needs to be slathered.
And the poached, the egg was really solid. It was really hard.
That's not good. No, no,
I was,
no.
I
and it's $30.
Exactly. Yeah. And you're sort of having breakfast regret the whole day.
Well, you know, I was having a conversation about this very thing the other day with a friend of mine, and we're both good cooks, but sometimes we'd like to take a break and go out to dinner and be treated to no dishes and that whole thing. But both of us were oh, I know. I went and spent the weekend with a girlfriend in Tacoma, and we were talking about what do we want to do for dinner. And we decided we just didn't feel like spending $100.
Yeah.
So we were just going to go, we'd have this and that and the other, and we kind of conjured some things in the kitchen. And it was infinitely more rewarding than having gone out to dinner and feeling bad because the food was mediocre, even when you pay a high price. And I'm not saying every time is that way.
Yeah.
But I'm saying for like a regular kind of, I'd just like to go out for dinner, not special occasion kind of thing.
Yeah.
Don't get me started on special occasion prices.
We've reached it. It's a new thing. It's a new day.
I think it kind of is.
A new day and eating out, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know where it is. I don't know where I am. I'm trying to...
Although I have to tell you, when I went to Seattle a month or so ago and spent the weekend... Well, I spent 4 days, actually, babysitting my grand dog while my son and his wife went rafting. Excuse me. And my son left me a gift certificate to DoorDash. And I really had fun with that.
Yeah, you get to pick and choose.
You get to pick and choose. And I knew the restaurants in the neighborhood that were on it. So, you know, here comes Indian food, hot, fast, and delivered. Here comes Chinese, hot, fast, and delivered. And I knew the restaurant, so I knew the food was good. Uh-huh. So that was quite wonderful. But I would never do that for myself.
That's a sign. If you ever wondered if your son loved you, if he left you a DoorDash gift certificate, he loves you.
It's pretty nice.
It's nice.
Yeah, he didn't want me to worry about having to cook or anything. And guess what? There's still some left on it.
Wow.
So that was a really nice gift.
Yeah.
I don't know when I'm going to go to Seattle again, but, you know.
No, that's awesome.
Yeah. So I bring my daughter a burrito on Tuesdays because I'm here.
Right? Uh-huh.
And I came in the other day and there was a customer in her store. And I said, DoorDash. The guy said, there's DoorDash on the island? I said, no, it's really Dad.
Sorry.
Dad Dash.
Dad Dash. Yeah, dad's dash. Dashing. Yeah. It's dashing dad's dash.
Yeah.
Again, and you're a good dad, man.
He is a good dad.
That's great.
Yeah, he is a good dad. Yeah. Well, gosh, it's been really fun to just kind of banter today and talk about all of our different summer ideas.
And next time I'll tell you what I'm preserving and canning.
Yes, and that's where we're going to be in August, isn't it?
Yeah.
I'm going to be in tomatoes. I can't wait for tomato season. It's just not quite here yet.
No, I'm all set. I'm trying different bread recipes for my BLTs.
Oh, man.
You know, and they're all big soft ones. As my friend
Don't
Dave says.
Don't you need a tester?
I do.
Yeah.
And we'll get some good butter. And yeah, it's like my friend Dave says, he doesn't want a BLT he doesn't use bread you can stand on.
No, I don't want it to hurt my gums when
exactly.
I'm eating a BLT.
No, I need the soft stuff.
You know, when I was writing full time for the Oregonian, I had an editor whose name was Ginger Johnston, and she was old school editor. And we became friends. She was in her 80s then. I was in my 40s, so she was a lot older than I, but we became really good friends, and she had me over several times to her house for lunch where we would talk about food and food history and look at cookbooks, and it was just fun. And she served tomato sandwiches on Wonder Bread, and she said, you know,
God I'm bless
she
her.
Said this is just not cool, I know that, but it cannot be a tomato sandwich on whole wheat or crispy bread. It just can't.
No, and it's the same way with a grilled cheese.
Yes.
If the bread doesn't stick to your teeth, there's something wrong.
That is the bad thing about it, though. Yeah. It sticks to the roof of your mouth, you know. But, man, it's so good. And that tomato juice dripping down your arm, you know.
Oh, man.
So.
Well, heck, that's going to be okay. So next time I'm going to tell you what I'm canning.
Yes.
I'll bring samples.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Good.
And you, if you're a good girl, I'll bring you some apricot jam.
That'll be
and
wonderful.
I owe Truman, you know, Truman is a giver and I've left him out of the gift circle.
Have you?
Yes. I'm sorry.
I'm well, sorry, I brought him some cake, so, you know.
Oh, so you're okay.
I'm safe. Well, I guess it's time to say goodbye.
Ciao,
it's
friends.
Really been a great hour, and I learned a lot today.
Yeah.
I really learned a lot today, and I love it when I learn new things about old food.
And new friends.
And new friends, yes. Thank you for listening to us, and we'll be back in a couple of weeks. I don't know. Fourth Tuesday.
Oh, that's math. Fourth
Tuesday of August.
Yeah.
We'll be here talking tomatoes.
That's right.
Tomatoes
and peaches, too.
And peaches and homemade bread.
I'll have had peaches
by
then.
Please tune in. All right. Yeah.